Well, hello there, top teachers. We are your hosts, Bridget Spackman
and Michelle Emerson, and we are here to make your life easier by helping you master your time, organization, and productivity as a teacher.
Happy May, everyone. We are starting the month with another chatty episode for you. So grab your coffee, your tea, or beverage of choice, and let's share our thoughts on a few topics.
Do you have a beverage of choice this morning, Bridget?
I have like three beverages right now. do not judge me. I have a coffee, I have a Diet Coke, and I have a water.
Okay. I think that's a good balance, and life is about balance. Although I find it interesting that you drink Diet Coke simultaneously with coffee.
Oh, yeah. I'm so weird. It's such a bad habit, and I'm trying very hard to not drink as much Diet Coke as I used to, but it's inevitable. I love it. And I'm just going to go out with Diet Coke in my hand.
Listen, I am not anti-diet beverages. I say the more the merrier, as long as you're getting in, you know, water as well. But I wanted to say something I fell in love with recently. I know this is a tangent, but I swear it will come back. You know those little flavor packets you can add to like a bottle of water?
Yeah.
So I drank a lot of those in like high school and college because I hated the taste of plain water. And then I stopped using them. But recently, I've been kind of stockpiling different flavors because I like to add them into like yogurt. And then some of my supplements, if I need to take like creatine or glutamine, I will mix it in with that. And I came across one for root beer. And I was like, that cannot be good. That sounds disgusting. Gosh. It is so good. I love it. It tastes just like root beer, but it's zero sugar. So it tastes like the zero sugar root beer, but it doesn't have the carbonation. And I've been having it almost every night. It's so good.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting. You'll have to send me a picture and we'll have to try it because Ian loves root beer, like is obsessed with root beer.
Yeah, I'll send you a picture, but then I'll also send you the link on Amazon. I got like a bulk pack.
Oh, nice. Yeah, okay. That's nice.
So we're going to kick this off by sharing a time-sucking hurdle. Mine, it's not my fault. It's just a general time-sucking hurdle.
I love how you start that way.
Well, because a lot of the TSHs, just in reflection, have been a result of like my actions or choices. This is not. This is just a life situation. Traffic.
Oh my gosh.
There's kind of two main highways that lead from like North Austin to the city. There's MOPAC or Route 1, and then there's Route 35 or I-35. Okay. When I go to the gym is by the Austin airport and it's kind of like southeast of the city. Usually when I would go to the gym, 25-ish minutes, maybe 30. Lately, it's been taking like 45 to 50 each way. And that just sucks up so much time because I usually take I-35 and they're doing all this construction, which this is going to be like a 10-year project because they're like changing the highway. But it's all the lanes like shift to one side and the traffic, like it's just been a nightmare to the point where like I'm in traffic before I'm even on the highway because just the exits to get onto the highway are.
Do you not have like another workaround?
Well, there's the other highway. And that one, I've started coming home the other highway and I think that that's been better. But there's service roads, but the issue is those get even more backed up.
Yeah.
You know, so it's been fine. What I've been doing is picking out some really good podcasts to listen to, but
good.
I'm curious, what is your current time sucking hurdle?
Oh man. You know, this one was a little bit hard for me because I feel like I've said the same thing over and over for the past like month and a half. But I am very much seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. So this past week was just really busy with work. Like PSSAs are getting ready to start. And so it's like everybody's trying to get us in and have us, you know, out before PSSAs come around. And then they don't want us in their buildings anymore, which is totally fine with me. I am happy to stay at home for a few days because I have not had much of that for the past few months. So one of the things that I've been doing is fidelity checks. And I hate that word, fidelity checks, but it's not necessarily like, are you doing this? You have to do it absolutely to fidelity. That's not what it means. So really, it's a PBIS program that follows under like the MTSS, but it's more for behavior. And so the state runs a PBIS cohort. And okay. So these schools who are in the cohorts and have started PBIS as like a school-wide behavior format, we have to go in. And basically what we're doing is we're collecting data to determine whether or not those schools are really doing the things that they say that they're doing. That's okay. All it is. And then what we do is create an action plan from it. So we go in and we speak with like a percentage based on the number of teachers and the number of students. We speak with the kids and the teachers and we're like, do you teach? Like, the expectations at the beginning of the year, you know, what do the letters represent for pride or roar or soar or whatever it is that they're using as their acronym. And they have to tell us that. And depending on if they are really kind of embedding that into their lessons, they either know it or they don't know it. Right. Like it's one or the other. So all it does is let us know, like, are they implementing the things that they say that they're implementing? And if they're not, how can we help to support them and say, okay, so here's where your percentages are at and here's how we're going to go back in and make some adjustments so that you are implementing this and seeing success when it comes to behavior management in your school. So that has sucked up quite a bit of my time because it's a lot of driving. And then you have to go in and then you have to then take the data and you put the data into the database. And it's just a whole process. Thankfully, I am not on the PBIS team. I was just helping. So I have that checked off of my list, which is really nice.
Okay, that's good. But it sounds like it's less of a like gotcha and more of a collecting data in order to further support them.
Yes.
And to me, that's what a majority of that type of accountability checks or whatever you want to call it, you know, fidelity is what it should be. Like, I always think about when admin would come into like your classroom, you know, we all get this pit in our stomach. We're worried, like, are they trying to catch me doing something wrong?
I know.
In reality, like, I think admin should be very present in the school building and pop into rooms, but it shouldn't be about, oh, I'm going to catch you doing something wrong. It's a, here's what you're doing great. Where can I help you? How can I support you?
Right. So. And that's what it's supposed to be about.
Yeah.
So we have another recess digress episode. Woo-hoo. And we're going to be talking about three different pieces. We have short form content, changing identities. Ooh, it sounds like so like mysterious as we're starting to lead into this. And then some current favorites. We haven't visited some of our current favorites recently, so we figured we would throw that into this recess digress. And as always, we don't really have a plan for these episodes, so it's going to be very chatty.
Yeah. If you want to check out our previous episodes, we have done this two prior times, but hopefully there will be more in the future. The first time we did it was episode 198. This was back in 2023. Mm-hmm. We focused on back to school shopping. We talked about PD for teachers and like what teachers really need for that. And then we shared some of our current must watch shows. And we also shared some like don't watch shows that we did not enjoy. And then the other episode was 215, and we chat about AI in education. We have a little conversation about what education truly needs and kind of this idea of, are we experts and do we need experts and all that fun stuff. And then some TPT drama. So if you are interested in those, we will have them linked for you in the show notes, but you can also just scroll back and find the numbers 198 or 215.
So now we're going to jump in to our first topic, which is short form content. Now, Michelle, you are the one that kind of came up with these different topic areas. So I feel like you should kick them off.
Okay.
My brain is not remembering.
I think the short form content one I put in the notes after the last recess digress that we recorded because I think it started to come up, or maybe you and I were talking off the podcast and it came up. But obviously, social media has really shifted into this desire. And I mean, social media, it's like if you're not doing short form content, it's not getting put out there. Like it's what people want. And when we say short form content, for anyone that's maybe not as privy in like the social media world, those are the quick little videos that are like anywhere from 5 seconds to a minute, I would say.
Yeah,
it's like
I agree.
The TikToks, the Reels, the Instagram or the Facebook video shorts, YouTube shorts.
Yeah.
Rather than a YouTube video or a podcast episode that's going to be 10, 15, 20, you know, 45 minutes long. That would be long form content. And we've seen this shift. I think it's been kind of slowly happening over a past few years, but I hate short form content. And I think it's because so many of the topics are more nuanced than what short form content allows. And so as a result, mm-hmm. people have to present information in a very kind of almost black and white format, meaning they don't go into a lot of detail. It's just like, here's what it is. Here's what you need to know. Here's the right way to do it. And I think there are very, very few things in life that do not have some form of gray area, but you don't have time to go into that gray area in the short form content. And I am a individual that really enjoys the nuance on mm-hmm. topics. Bridget, what are your thoughts? Because I don't want to go on a tangent.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, so let me rephrase that. I'm going to view it from two different perspectives. I'm going to view it from a consumer perspective, and then I'm going to view it from a creator perspective. As a creator, short form content is really, really hard because you're trying, just as you said, you're trying to give information and you're not giving information. And I hate with a passion the people who are like, come back and check out part two. And I'm like, why couldn't you just give me what it looks like? Like, why yeah. couldn't you just show me the end result? Like, why would that be so hard for you? Because I don't have time to go digging through your reels to figure out where it is. Like that, it's just too time consuming. And it really, really irks me. Now, as a consumer, I get hooked in mm-hmm. like it's nobody's business. It's like, you know, it's daylight outside. And then when you look up, it's no longer daylight. And you're like, oh, I'm hungry. Oh, I need to go to the bathroom. It's like all of my like human needs need to be met. Because I was so sucked in to the content that I was looking at with reels and shorts or whatever it might be. And so I recognize that I have to be very careful as a consumer when I'm getting on to them, because it absolutely sucks me in. So I have a hard time deciding my thoughts on it, because I like them as a consumer. I enjoy them. I don't like how I feel after I'm watching them. But then as a creator, I find those so hard. Now, I am with you. I love a good YouTube video. I will mm-hmm. watch YouTube videos. I will put them on in the background. I'll have mm-hmm. them up like when I'm washing dishes. I will have it up on my windowsill. Like, I am through and through a YouTube girl, and I love it. Which is why we started YouTube.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you and I both have a bias on, well, I mean, everyone has a bias, but we have a very strong bias on this topic because we are creators of long form content. We create YouTube videos, we create podcast episodes, mm-hmm. and we've been doing that for years. And so I think this shift, it's hard for us. It's almost like, you know, when you've been teaching a long time and then there's this like new thing that comes out in education and you resist it as long as you can. And eventually you have to kind of give in, but that shift and that change is hard. And I agree, from a consumer standpoint, they do suck me in. I agree, it's annoying as all get out when you're like, no, but I want to know how to like make it right? or how to do it. And I get it from the creator standpoint. They're just trying to get the views. And so they'd yes. rather you have to go search for the answer. Or a lot of times the reel won't even say or do anything. It'll just be like, read the comments or read the caption. And I it's know. Because if you have to go into the caption to read it, you're staying on the content longer. And that's then helping them in the algorithm. But I think, go ahead.
I really struggle with short form content because it's entertainment. Mm-hmm. I don't see the value that I'm getting out of it at the very end of it, right? Like what is whatever it is that I'm watching when it comes to short form content, like how is it helping me grow as an individual? Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times what we see on short form content, it's silly or it doesn't really add value. It doesn't really help you in any way. It's almost like they're mocking something, or it's just pure entertainment.
A lot of times, yes.
Yeah. And so I really struggle with that aspect because I am a learner through and through. I love gaining new insight, looking at new information. I love taking away ideas and saying, ooh, I want to do that, whether it be in education or like household decorations or crafts or whatever it might be. Cleaning. I also love cleaning videos. Those are those are a favorite of mine. But like they give ideas and I'm learning something from it that I'm like, oh, I should have done that. I've never thought about doing it that way. And there are some cases where it's just pure entertainment and silliness. Like Trent will watch the funny things. Mm-hmm. And he's always listening to all the funny or the drama, or it's just pure entertainment. And there's nothing that he's getting out of it that's going to make him better at the end of the day. And I really struggle with that kind of content. So maybe it's the type.
I think that that goes back to what I started with when I opened up about short form content and how it's hard to get into the nuance. And I think there are these pockets of strictly entertainment short form content. And again, the algorithm is very good. So it's going to find what you like and it's going to keep feeding it to you. But there is this other side where people are trying to educate, but because of the lack of nuance, and whether it's because they just don't have the time to go into it in that short form content, or I think a lot of people honestly just don't have the knowledge to be speaking on the things that they're speaking on. Have you, Bridget, heard of, or are you familiar with the Dunning-Kruger effect?
I am not. No.
Okay. So the Dunning-Kruger effect is essentially, and I'm most likely going to butcher this, someone could explain it much better than I can, but it's a cognitive bias that people will have where people with limited competence in an area, so someone who knows like a very little amount, way overestimates their abilities. So they think they have a much more deep and complex understanding than they truly have, versus people on the other side of the spectrum who have a very in-depth competence in an area will kind of doubt themselves and almost think that they don't know as much as what they do. And it's partially because the more you learn about a topic, the more you realize how nuanced it is. And you realize, oh, wow, like there's so much more to this that I didn't realize, but that comes with knowledge. And so I think what happens is, especially on Reels, that Dunning-Kruger effect kind of takes over, and the people who are not experts at all and have very limited knowledge present themselves as experts because they way overestimate. They know this little bit and they want to share it and they think that they're experts. And it's like, but no, 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 there's a lot more to it. It's a lot more nuanced than that. If that makes sense.
No, that absolutely makes a ton of sense. And you have to be very careful with the information that you're getting from people, especially on short form content. I was at a presentation, I think it was back in November, and she was talking about research, and she said that you have to be very careful with the things that you see on social media because they present it as if it is research based, but in reality, it's not. And so she's like, you have to look critically at what's happening in social media. And so she follows like all these different educators on social media. And she's like, that's not true. That's not research based. And so we have to be very careful and we have to look at things with a critical lens.
Yes.
To ensure that we're getting information that is valid, that is going to be truly research-based or evidence-based, however you want to view it, and that it's going to be helpful at the end of the day, right? Like you can definitely try things out, but just remember to put your own lens on it and look at things critically and take the things away that you know are going to be beneficial.
Yeah, I think that's a great kind of nugget to end on there. It's as a consumer, you are responsible for the content that you choose to consume and your interpretation of it and what you do with the information, because you can't control other people's actions. So if you are consuming short form content, just be leery of any inaccuracies or false statements that may be made. Find ways to kind of adapt it and make it work for you, and don't get sucked in too far. But we are going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll chat about some changing identities, whatever that means. NSYNC once said, "It's going to be me." But here at Teaching on the Double, we prefer it's going to be May, because May means new planners.
Our new digital teacher planners are now available for the 2024 to 2025 school year and are on sale until May 15th. You can find these on our website at teachingonthedouble.com/store with the discount already applied.
These digital planners run from July of 2024 to June 2025, so you can grab them on sale now to get a jump start on planning for the next school year.
You can even choose between the tablet and Google Slides version, and each format is available in landscape or portrait orientation so that you can find the perfect planner for your personal preferences.
Head over to teachingonthedouble.com/store to secure your digital teacher planner before this sale goes bye, bye, bye. Okay, final NSYNC pun, I promise. And now back to the episode. All right, we are back, and our next topic is changing identities. And I just kind of put this on here because it's been something I've been reflecting on, I guess, a lot lately.
And it's because you're getting older.
Because I'm getting old. So I feel like as people, our society, especially here in the United States, it's almost presented as if you have to choose this identity. And what's crazy is that you basically make this choice when you're in high school, because you make a choice of the college you're going to go to, the degree you're going to get. And then it's almost like a lot of people lock into that and either don't want to let go of it, or it's hard to let go of like one identity and kind of shift to another. But I think because our society is so focused on like work, and we really, what's the right word? We glorify like success through our careers and the money that we make, all of those things. And I think that's what kind of causes us to feel trapped in these changing identities, because, or in these initial identities that we choose, because in order to change identities, a lot of times it means kind of starting over, or at least not starting as high as you once were. And so I think that shift becomes very difficult. But in reality, I feel like as people, the more we can kind of shift our identity, the more exposure we have to new things, and we discover these new parts of ourselves, and we develop these new parts of ourselves that maybe just weren't even there before. And I think that that's really magical and cool, but it's hard to do. So yes, those were just kind of my initial thoughts. I mean, I can get into more nitty gritty, but I want to hear from you.
So my sister lives in Amsterdam. Michelle, you know this. Yeah. So my sister lives in Amsterdam. She's lived there for almost a year. I guess a year would be September, so it's not even almost. And she moved there with her husband, who took a new job. And so she ended up changing and just works from home, but now I think she works for like a gaming magazine, which is kind of fun. And one of the conversations that we had together was exactly what you're saying, Michelle. She said that in the US, when you meet somebody brand new, the first thing that we ask is, what do you do?
What do you do?
Yeah. What do you do for work? But in Amsterdam, in the Netherlands, they really focus in on you as a person. What do you like to do? Like, what are some of your hobbies? You know, do you have kids? You know, they're learning about your personality rather than the work. And so she said it's such a different culture when it comes to how they prioritize like individualism and really looking at the person rather than the work itself. So I very much see it in that sense, that, and I've never really thought of it that way of like, oh, you know, we are so focused on the jobs that we play. And I'm going to be very vulnerable right now. So Ian is going to be a senior next year. And all of a sudden, as a mom, I'm like, well, crap, what is he going to do? He is just not really driven, and he doesn't really have an idea of what he wants. And I'm like, okay, so where can I help guide him? Because my first thought is I have to guide him. And I forget so often that I didn't have direction with my life when I was his age. I worked lots of different jobs. I mean, I worked at an animal clinic. I worked at a bank. I worked as a waitress. I worked as a manager for so many different things in years, right? And, but I also recognized that I struggled in the beginning because, you know, and it was my choices, but I had him young and I wasn't making a ton of money. And so life was hard for me. And so I will think, well, I don't want him to go through that. Now, granted, hopefully he won't have a kid like I did very young, but I don't want him to struggle and I don't want him to feel lost in that sense. While I really appreciated the experiences that I got from it, like I never felt like I had direction with anything, right? I was so wishy-washy. And I see that in him as well. And so as we're starting to talk about colleges and where he wants to go, we're kind of trying to lead him into this path. But then I'm like, well, crud, am I trying to force him into this identity? When in reality, he just needs an opportunity to figure out, like, what does he want to do with his life and explore the different possibilities and grow up, because he is still so young. And it's so hard to think about that when your child is like super hairy and driving a car. But it's like, you are really, you're still really young. You're a baby. Like, you're still my little tubby, my little baby. He will die if he ever hears that I say that, because that was our nickname for him when he was little. He was a little chunky monkey. He was so cute. But that's what I think about. Right? Like, yeah. I'm forcing my kid into an identity rather than allowing him to explore and find it for himself.
And what's interesting about what you just said, and I think the connection to like motherhood and just and having kids in general really personifies this. I feel like as a parent, ultimately, every parent wants their kid to be better off than they were, right? Yes. They want to be able to provide a better life, a better experience. They just, they want to set them up for success because they love them. And that's what we do for people that we love. But then in trying to do that, sometimes we strip the life experience of, as you said, getting to figure things out and getting to explore, because ultimately, you know, life isn't about the destination. We're all going to end up in the same place. Mm-hmm. It's about the journey. It's about what we experience along the way. Like, that's truly what makes our lives so meaningful and so special. And so often, in an effort to make things better, we kind of strip them of that opportunity. And again, it's out of love, but I think being able to reflect and go, you know what, that whole figuring things out, it's a part of life. Mm-hmm. And I think you also brought up a good point when you said, you know, for him to kind of discover his own identity, I think it's important to acknowledge that your identity at 15, 20, 25 is going to be different than your identity at 50, 60, 70. We're not supposed to stay the same. We are supposed to change. It's like, I don't know why I just thought of a dandelion, probably because Billy and I went to dinner last night at a real bougie restaurant, and they had all of these, you know, garnishes on the plate, and it was a lot of like edible flowers and stuff. There was one, I kid you not, that was a little dandelion on there, and I ate it because I love experiences, and I was like, I'm going to eat it. It did not taste good. But regardless, a dandelion, when it first sprouts, it looks very different than like at the end of its life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I think I just wish as a society that we would more treasure those shifts in life, whether it's you're starting a new career or a new hobby. I love at my gym, there is this one older gentleman that does weightlifting. Now, weightlifting is different than powerlifting. Weightlifting is where you take the barbell up over your head. So snatch and then clean and jerk are the movements. And he's got to be late 40s, 50s, somewhere in there.
What?
And he's like just now taking up this hobby and like learning weightlifting. And I think that that is so cool. And I wish society didn't kind of look down upon that, because I feel like tomorrow, if I were to announce I'm leaving teaching, I'm pursuing this other career. I don't know. Maybe I wanted to be a truck driver because I wanted to see the country. Like,
yeah.
I don't know why that's what came to my head.
I mean, I have a lot of uncles who are truck drivers.
I think I would thrive as a truck driver. I really do. Awesome. Again, I'm not doing that, but I'm saying I think I could. Regardless, can you imagine the comments I would get?
Yep.
It would not be celebratory. It would be, what are you doing? Why are you throwing away this degree? This makes no sense. How come you spend all this time in education? Like, people would focus on the negatives rather than the positives.
Yep. Well, and even now, and it's so interesting because I feel as though this year I've gone through what you've gone through. Two or three years ago? How long has it been now since you've moved to Texas? 3 years?
It'll be 3 years this summer. Okay. So, yeah.
So where you're getting the comments of, are you going back to the classroom? Are you going back to the classroom? And it's like, why can't we accept the fact that I am exploring a new opportunity? Mm. I'm still in education. I'm still doing that. But I'm exploring a new opportunity and learning something to help better a different area. I may not be working directly with kids, but I'm still helping in education. I'm still moving the needle forward, hopefully. Let's just say that.
You are.
It's that whole, like, they've seen me as a classroom teacher and now I have to always be a classroom teacher. I am somebody who likes to learn and grow and try new things and do new things. And like, I did not ever see myself forever as a classroom teacher. There probably was a small portion of me that saw myself as a classroom teacher forever, especially when I was in multi-age. But yeah, that's kind of my I see that. And we definitely go through a ton when it comes to how we change identities. And part of that is that we're getting older and you're not meant to stay the same. Just like you said, where I was when I was 20 years old is very different now that I'm getting closer to 40. Like, I'm not that same person. And I'm happy that I'm not that same person.
I was going to say, I think that that's the biggest piece. It's not only acknowledging, I'm not the same. It's a good thing I'm not the same. I mean, I look back at when I was 20 and I'm like, oh, Michelle,
I was a mess. You,
like you said with Ian, it's like you were a baby. You know nothing. You think you know a lot. It's that Dunning-Kruger effect. Mm-hmm. Like, you think you know a lot, but you don't know anything.
Yeah.
Like, you're supposed to learn and grow. And yeah, I don't know. I think I'm good on that topic. If you are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you find like some resolution there?
Yeah. I think more than anything, just putting it out there, because what I love about these episodes is people will listen to it. Things will resonate with them and then they'll send us like an email or a Instagram message. And I just love hearing that from people. And so my hope is these are my thoughts. Most likely there's someone else out there who
has
similar thoughts or this triggered thoughts that they weren't thinking about before.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
All right. Well, the last topic is current favorites. And I left that very loosey-goosey open-ended so that we can just kind of share random things and maybe we kind of go back and forth. So I already shared about the little drink packets that I've been having, and like the root beer one is very good. I also love, there's several Skittles ones, but the wild berry Skittles flavor goes perfectly in my Greek yogurt. And then I mix in some frozen berries and I have that almost every night. And it's so good because wild berry Skittles are the best Skittles. And then I will buy other random ones. I've found like Sunkissed flavors and Starburst flavors and all the different things. It's just kind of fun to change it up. And I got a little caddy like to organize it. I think it's made for makeup brushes, but I've been enjoying those. Would you like to share a favorite? Can be related to anything.
So this is going to seem like an odd favorite, but Michelle, you will completely understand why I love this thing. It is a scanner. It is a portable scanner. So I have now the ability to scan all these flipping papers that I've had from wherever it is that I get them from, because I have a load of them for some reason and I never understand why. But I have a little scanner. It's Epson. It's wonderful. You can either plug it into an outlet, which is great because it goes really, really fast, but it also runs on battery. So if I want to take it somewhere with me, not that I would, but if I wanted to take it somewhere and scan a few documents, I have that ability to be able to scan them And it like, it's such an easy process. I have gotten rid of so much stuff down in my basement and in my office that were just papers that I was like, but I somehow need this, right? Like, I don't have an original of this, and I surely don't want to make the original of this, or receipts, or it's just any form of documents. And I've been getting rid of them, which is such a good feeling.
Okay, so you mentioned receipts. I wasn't going to mention this as one of my favorites, but it made me think of it. Have you heard of the Fetch app?
I have not.
Okay, so shout out to Valerie. When she came here to Austin to visit, she's the one that introduced it to me. It's so simple. You just scan a receipt, any receipt. It doesn't matter. It can be a restaurant. It can be, you know, a bookstore that you walked into, a grocery store receipt, any receipt. So you just open up the app and you just take a picture of the receipt. It's very simple, but you collect points, and sometimes different brands will have promotions where if you purchase that brand, you get like bonus points, but then you can just use those points for like gift cards and random things. But to me, it's one of those where it's like, well, I've already got the receipt. I might as well just take a picture of it. Like, it's that easy. I have not redeemed my points for anything. I'm just trying to build them up for now. But I've gotten into the habit of getting a receipt wherever I go, because I used to be the person who's like, no, I don't need a receipt. Now I get the receipt. I take a picture, and it's just free points, and it's free to make an account. They don't like spam you with stuff. I feel like I've seen a lot of those. Yeah. You know, Chrome extensions and stuff. Yes. And it's all like a lot of spam. This is not like that. It's very, very simple to use. So anyone who has not checked out the Fetch app, there you go.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that favorite? One. I'm going to say, and this one's terrible because it's not really like anything new. It's new to me. So I bought the Harry Potter series on Audible. Y'all don't judge me. Aww. Okay. Listen, I love Harry Potter. It is just my comfort. It is when I'm feeling stressed and I am feeling anxious. I like Harry Potter because it's my comfort zone. So when I'm driving in the car and I have these really long, you know, hour and a half drives one way and then an hour and a half on the way back, I put on Harry Potter if I'm feeling so stressed. So now it's like me taking the video format, but putting it into audio. And I just love it so much because I can like visualize the movie in my head. Yeah. And it just brings peace to me. So that is one of my favorites.
I think that that's nice. I know Jenna Fisher on Office Ladies talked about how when she was, I think in like college or theater school or something, she did an audio recording of the movie When Harry Met Sally. Like, she just recorded the audio. She had to do it like old school because this was a while ago. And she would listen to that. She had like a 3-hour commute. And so she would just listen to the audio. And so she can recite the movie from memory because of that. But I like the idea of it's like a comfort thing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It definitely is.
Okay. So my next one is French press coffee. I have fallen in love with preparing coffee using French press. I've been doing it for about almost a month now. I got myself a French press. I also got myself an electric kettle, and it's just so much better because I really love like good, strong, dark roast coffee. Mm. Like, I enjoy the flavor of coffee. It's not just a like, oh, I want a bunch of cream and sugar. Like, I love good black coffee. Also, along with that, I recently discovered the Dunkin' Midnight blend or roast. So it's their like darkest dark roast. And I discovered it when I was coming home from Michigan at the airport. The closest coffee place to me was a Dunkin'. And I was like, I know I love Dunkin' in college, but then I realized there's much better coffee out there. And when I walked by, I saw a sign for this midnight roast. And they said it was like our darkest roast yet. And I was like, all right, I'll try it. It was very, very good, especially for Dunkin' coffee. And so then I bought some of the grounds of it at the store and made it at home with like the French press. And it's very good.
Nice.
Very good. Yeah.
All right. I only have one more.
Okay.
So my last one is going to be a YouTube channel. Now, I've shared about this YouTube. Sorry. Hold on. So I've shared about this YouTube channel on my newsletter. So if you're a part of my newsletter, you've already seen it. But I'm sharing it here because I genuinely love her. So her name is Miss Mango. Or Rotten Mango. And then she has another channel. So sorry, her first one is Rotten Mango. The second one is Miss Mango Butt, B-U-T-T. Okay. I love her. So I think Oh, I don't. Her husband is Chinese, and I want to say that she's Korean. So she's absolutely wonderful. She has mad storytelling skills. Mm. Like, that is what she does, is she storytells true crime. But then on her Miss Mango Butt channel, she does like TV shows and books that she's read, and she'll do them from all different types. A recent favorite one that I really wish they had the dubbed version of this TV series on Amazon, but they don't. They only have subtitles, is called Marry My Husband. It's a K-drama, so it's a Korean drama, and I'm okay. obsessed with it. I think it is so good, and I wish I could watch it, but her storytelling of it was phenomenal. So yeah. highly recommend if you need somebody to just put on the background, if you want to do like books and TV shows that are not all about like murder and true crime, Miss Mango Butt. Okay. And then if you were all about the true crime, you need to go and check out Rotten Mango, because they're fantastic, and they come from other areas of the world, which is not just US, which is nice. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because you always hear all the US true crime pieces, but this one goes into like China and Korea and all of these different areas. So very cool. Super I love cool. her.
Awesome. Yeah, I like that. I've realized, especially reading as much as I have this year, I have realized I am not a thriller in terms of reading. I do not enjoy thrillers. I do like true crime. And I think I'm the same way with movies, where I need the movie to be believable, and I need it to be... I love when they're based on true stories, but a lot of the thrillers that are just like made up, I cannot get into. Yeah. But on that topic, in terms of some favorite movies that I've watched recently. So Billy and I, since I guess we started this in maybe December, but definitely since the start of the year, every Friday we have something we call Pint and Pictures. We watch a movie and we eat a pint of ice cream, and we alternate who chooses the movie. So I used to not be a movie person. They were too long for me. I would rather watch shows, but you give me a pint of ice cream, yeah. I'll watch a movie.
Oh, nice.
So as a result, Billy and I have watched like 15 movies so far this year, which is way wow. more than we used to watch. And so in our digital personal planner, we have a movie tracking page. And so every movie that we watch, I put it on the page, and I have like the date that we watched it, the title of the movie, the year that it came out, the director, and the genre of the movie. And then I rate it afterwards, like 1 to 5 stars. So here are the three movies that I've watched thus far in 2024 that I've given 5 stars to. Okay. So the first one is Office Space, which is, you know, a classic. It came out in 1999, yes, but it's so I had good. Never seen it. And I absolutely loved it. Like, it's, it was Trent's my favorite. Comedy.
That is yes. Trent's favorite. We watch it a lot.
It is so good. The next one that I watched that I loved was a movie called Sideways.
I've never heard of it.
Okay. So it stars Paul Giamatti. It came out in 2004. It's like a comedy romance, but basically it's these two friends who go on a almost like a wine trip. The one guy is getting married, so it's kind of like a bachelor party, and they're going to all these wineries because the character that Paul Giamatti, his character is really big into wine. And like, I'm not a wine drinker, so a lot of that yeah. went over my head. But he, you know, meets a girl. Like, it's just, it's very well done, very funny. But in a not, oh, sorry, I just dropped my planner on my keyboard. That's awkward. It's not in like a cheesy, silly kind of way. Like, it's a, I don't want to say a higher form of comedy, but like, yeah, it's just the dialogue is
yeah.
very good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then the last movie that got a 5 stars, we actually just watched it on Friday, so 2 nights ago, was called The Prestige.
I've seen that.
The magician one.
Yes.
So good. So it's a Christopher Nolan film. Uh-huh. It came out in 2006. It's kind of like a thriller, but there's a really good twist at the end, and it has Christian Bale and it has Hugh Jackman.
So good.
And yes, it is very well done. Well directed.
Scarlett Johansson. Is that
yes.
who's in there too? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Scarlett Johansson, Michael Caine. I'm really, really bad with actors
Same.
And actresses. But I think his name is Michael Caine. Hold on, I'm Googling. She's Michael
Caine. She's looking it up.
Yes. But very, very good movie. Like, it's a little over 2 hours, and usually I'm like, I need it to be under 2 hours, but very much worth it. Loved it. So that's all that I've got. Nice. Those are my favorites.
Really good suggestions. I'll have to check out the second one. What was the name again?
Sideways.
Sideways. I'm going to have to write that down. And I'll be sure to check that out. So guys, we hope that you've enjoyed this chatty episode. Thanks for hanging out with us as we've talked about our three areas where we discuss short form content, changing identities, and then gave you a few little favorites as we begin the month of May. Make sure that you are heading over to our website, teachingonthedouble.com, to submit your TSH there. We would love to know what is sucking up all of your time right now. You can be featured right here on the podcast or be an inspiration for an entire podcast episode. We would also like for you to subscribe to the podcast so that you can get notified when we drop our new episodes, which is on Thursday mornings. And by the way, we have new planners out.
Yeah.
I can't believe I missed that. We have brand new planners out for the 2024-2025 school year. You can check that out over on our website, visiting the store, which is teachingonthedouble.com/store. And it comes in a Google Slides, and it also comes in the tablet versions, but those are officially available within our store, and you can go and grab them and start planning out for your upcoming school year. We would also like for you to leave a review over on iTunes if you can, please. We love hearing your feedback and seeing your responses there, and it really does help us get into the ears of so many others. So until next time,
be timely,
stay organized,
and be productive.
Bye-bye.
See ya.